Well, the Detroit Lions went into Dallas, or Arlington, I should say, so don't get mad at me out there. And they crushed the Cowboys 47-9. We'll get you more on that loss, but it comes at a loss for the Lions, unfortunately. And their Pro Bowl edge rusher, Aiden Hutchinson, there we go, had a gruesome lower leg injury in that game. He was stretchered off. He was immediately ruled out for the remainder of it. And now the news on the heels of it is that he has a fracture of his tibia, and that required immediate surgery in Dallas.
Yeah, terrifying stuff. I didn't see the initial play. When I kind of looked up and he was on the screen, I saw him kind of taking his gloves off, and I was like, well, that's how you know it's not good, when somebody's laying on the ground taking their gloves off. And obviously, upon further review, about as gruesome as it gets in terms of leg injuries. But a lot of questions about everything going on. The fact that he goes straight into surgery, to your point, Tiff, is very concerning. But hopefully he was in good hands. I'm sure he was. And, man, Bo mentioned this earlier. He's got both teams kind of patting him on the back as he goes off the field. I think that's a huge sign of respect for the kind of player he is.
Well, you could see a mouth on the ground, and unfortunately, in the close-up shot, it's broke.
Yeah.
So he, and most people who have those kind of injuries know just right away, but what a significant loss for the Lions.
Yeah, friendly fire, too. Like his own player got kind of blocked into him as he was making the tackle on Dak. I hate it. He's been so dominant this year. It's a good player, high motor. Seems like a good guy from all purposes. Everything I can, you see and hear about him. I do think it's like always a telltale sign of the type of player you are, when you have guys on the other defense coming out on the field and giving you some love when you're injured like that. I hate it, but look. It might have been a little bit of a cloud over the win yesterday, but Detroit took care of business.
They did, and it was Cowboys owner Jerry Jones's 82nd birthday, and not the way he wanted to celebrate. It was their worst loss in a game since he bought the team in 1989.
Yeah,
so losing 47-9.
Imagine being a foolish enough to pick Dallas to win that game.
I mean, imagine
being that ignorant.
I was hardcore. And Man Up Monday will be coming up in just 30 minutes. You'll be able to hear that cut from Friday.
I might quit picking games if I had to pick Dallas to cover the 3 and they lost by
it was a rough one.
Mike, 38.
Mike, I just want to say I have something very special for you when it comes to that picking particular.
It's bad enough. Nah, it's bad enough. I don't
got
need
something
you
for you, bro.
Dirt on top of me like that.
I got something for you, bro.
Buried alive.
All right. It was bad.
Well, at least the frustration for you guys hasn't boiled over like it has in Jacksonville, because after their 20-17 loss to the Colts, Calvin Ridley pretty much made it clear that he has reached a breaking point.
Yeah. I had targets in what part of the game I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So, need some in the beginning of the game, too, then. Like, getting crazy for me. So, I'm just, it is what it is. But I sucked today. I got to be better. But I got to get the ball a little early in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so I can play well also.
Calvin, of course, plays for Tennessee. Sorry, right. He's been around
yeah.
A few teams now. So.
It's got to be frustrating right now. And by the way, nobody in Jacksonville's faring any better right now. But the quarterback play has just been bad for Calvin Ridley. I can't imagine anybody being dumb enough to start him in fantasy yesterday, Bo, in which we both did, dude. He's absolutely brutal right now. He's had some games where he looks dominant, other games where he is just non-existent right now. And so, as far as Tennessee goes, man, there's a lot of struggles right now offensively, and you can hear it coming out in Calvin Ridley like there. It just looks like they're not putting him up to bat at times, and I don't know what all things lead to it, but he's a guy who obviously is making a lot of money for Tennessee right now, and not being featured part of that game plan, you hear that frustration coming out.
You know, look, it's easy to say that they're not doing enough to get in the ball, but I think we need to know what I have not watched a lot of Tennessee. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of busy on Sundays, so I can't tell you what's happening completely in that game. But when a guy only has 9 catches on a new team, when they paid him a lot of freaking money to feature him, it's hard for me to grasp that they're not trying to do things to get him the ball. And it also sounds like to me that if he doesn't get the ball early, he's checking out. He tells you that. He says, I need to get the ball earlier. So you're telling me you're checking out of the mentally if you don't get the ball early in a game? That's what I heard. I got guys trying to tell me how Kyle Pitts quit on routes, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know if he quit on it or not.
Why don't you talk about Mark Sanchez like that?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you cut the man bun?
He knows a little bit more than I would say me and you do.
I think I don't disagree with that, but so. I don't think he knows what the play call was there or if Kirk was throwing the ball away because of pressure.
How did we get on this? Anyways.
Anyways, I think Calvin really should also understand that he's got a young quarterback that maybe do more to build chemistry than a quarterback. Look, Will Levis has not been very good this year. But to kind of act like that in a locker room, I just think I don't know. I never saw that out of Calvin here. I know that he had his issues, but it was never anything to that extent. So
Can we talk about Joe Flacco, though, for the Colts? Coming in, getting the start for Anthony Richardson, who is dealing with the injury. But, again, Joe Flacco just keeps finding ways to step into these situations and then win games.
Yeah.
I'm sure they might miss him, in Cleveland.
He absolutely does. You know? And this was one of those things where a lot of people thought Anthony Richardson would be back for this game, kind of a game-time decision heading into the weekend, and then all of a sudden Flacco finds out he's getting the nod. But just a wily old vet. Just somebody that they're like, hey, man, you're going to get the ball today. And he just goes out and does everything he needs to do. And he just continues to reinvent his game and play his style, man. You love that Indianapolis loses Gardner Minshew as the backup and dealt with all these Anthony Richardson injuries last year. And then they signed Joe Flacco as the backup. Two completely different quarterbacks for what Anthony Richardson is. And yet they come in and continue to be successful. So a lot of credit has to go to that coaching staff and everybody else around that team for being able to get it done in multiple ways.
So Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, wasn't holding back when it came to exchanging some words with fans after their win 20-16 against the Browns. So what do you think or like or dislike about a head coach jawing off with people in the stands?
Well, I don't think the time to jaw with your own fan base is when you beat the worst one of the two worst teams in football by 4 points at home when you probably should dominate them with the talent you have, especially with the quarterback seeing ghost. Now, I don't care the fact that he's jawing with Philly fans because I could give a rat's ass about Philly fans.
They deserve each other. Nick Sirianni and Philly's fans deserve each other. They're one and the same. They're very much the same people. They're going to run their mouth. Nick Sirianni's always run his mouth. Even Jalen Hurts last year to tell him to calm down.
That's the problem for me. When my quarterback is more mature than the guy that's leading my team, that's a problem.
Look, if Philly fans are going to jaw and they want their head coach to be on the edge and everything else and be passionate, that's what they're going to get right back. And I don't think it was a great look for Sirianni, but I don't know if I have a massive problem with it, man. He turned around and he told them how he felt about it, and they got a win yesterday.
Over in London, Caleb Williams and the Bears did a number on the Jags, 35-16, but Williams thrown for four touchdown passes.
He looked really good. I watched that game in the hotel as I was getting ready. He looked really good. His pocket presence, Mike, he was sticking in there, going through all his progressions. And then if that was not there, then
the
he would move.
To extend plays with his legs.
Yeah, and he's always had it, Tiff. It's been one of those things at college that off-schedule play was his own schedule play.
Right.
That's what he did.
He was scheduled to be off-scheduled, is what he's trying to say.
But he is progressing.
Yeah.
But to that point, he's sticking with these plays in the pocket until it is, there's nothing else there, and then he's making plays with his legs.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I asked Tiff, I asked these guys on Friday, is there a chance that Caleb Williams can catch Jaden Daniels and the rookie of the year running? I'm a massive believer that he eventually will. I think that Caleb Williams is growing, and I think he's got more weapons around him probably to be better down the long stretch. I know that Washington, in a lot of ways, has been the toast of the NFL through the first few weeks. They're also a great team and took a rough loss yesterday, but that's a team to me in Chicago that really the sky's the limit in terms of the weapons they have out wide, and they'll continue to do good things with Caleb Williams at the helm.